Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon! A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And just as quick as a gunshot, the minute you taste them, you'll know they're the ones you want for breakfast every morning. Yes, when you pour out a bowl full of swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, add milk or cream and your favorite fruit, they score a quick hit with your appetite. So crisp, so tender, so tempting. You just can't beat delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. Enjoy this treat starting tomorrow. Mine City in the Yukon Territory had sprung into being when the Jeffers Mine began operations in that locality. It was summertime when Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police entered Mine City and pulled to a stop before the general store.
Oh, Blackie. Oh, boy. See?
As the Mountie dismounted, a tall, slim Eskimo in his early 20s left the store and approached Sergeant Preston and his dog, King.
Oh, hello, Sergeant. Be glad to see you and King. I'm glad to see you and King.
Well, Don Jack, still improving your English, I see.
Oh, that's right, Sergeant. I bring book with me from missionary school and study much at night.
Fine. Like your work at the mine?
Oh, yes, Sergeant. Work go very good. But Don Jack get lonesome here.
Huh?
Others not friendly. They not like Eskimo.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sure if they knew you as I do, Don Jack, they'd realize what a fine fellow you really are.
You always good friend, Sergeant. But others say I stay out of cafe. They not wait on Eskimo.
I see. I wonder if you'd let me stay at your cabin while I'm in town.
You mean you willing to stay with me?
Why, of course. You're a clean, living, intelligent man, and I consider you my friend.
Oh, it'd be a great honor, Sergeant, to have you as guest.
Good. I'll come to your place later. I have to stop at the mining office now and talk to the superintendent. You stay with Don Jack, King.
Later, Sergeant Preston entered the office of the Jeffers Mining Company.
Well, good afternoon, Sergeant.
How are you, Mr. Lewis? How are things at the mine?
Well, being mine superintendent has its troubles.
No doubt. I came here in response to a telegraph message which was sent to police headquarters in Whitehorse by the owner, Martin Jeffers. He asked that an officer be sent to see him.
Yes, but Mr. Jeffers will want to talk to himself. He's at home today.
Well, I'll go there this evening and see him. If he wants to reach me before then, I'll be at the cabin of Don Jack the Eskimo.
You mean you're staying there, Sergeant?
Yes, he's a very good friend of mine.
Oh, sure, sure, but after all, well, he is an Eskimo.
He's an intelligent man of fine character, Mr. Lewis. To me, a man with such qualifications is worth having as a friend, regardless of his race.
Well, I admit Don Jack's plenty smart and all that. In fact, he's the one who figures out the proper shoring that's to be put up in the tunnels. We couldn't hire an engineer who'd do better. He's pleasant, easy to get along with, minds his own business, but...
But in spite of the fact that Don Jack has the responsibility of protecting the lives of the miners, they don't accept him in their company. Is that it?
I reckon you might put it that way, Sergeant.
I see. Well, as I said before, I'll be at Donjek's cabin. Good day, Mr. Lewis.
It was about sundown when Donjek walked with the sergeant toward the home of Martin Jeffers on the edge of town. As they approached the house, Mr. Jeffers' 10-year-old boy, Larry, met them at the gate.
Golly, Sergeant Preston and King.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hello, Larry. You know Donjek?
Oh, yes, sir. I used to meet Donjek in front of the store. We'd sit on the store porch, and he'd tell me stories about the Eskimos.
Oh, Larry and Donjek, good friend once, Sergeant.
Aren't you still good friends?
Dad told me I couldn't see Donjek anymore. But I'm still his friend, honest. He knows lots of stories, and stories about the Bible, too.
Oh, that right, Sergeant. Missionary at school teach Donjek about Bible.
Well, I'm sure if your father knew our friend Donjek better, he wouldn't mind letting you talk to him, Larry. Is your father at home now?
Yes, Sergeant. He just finished supper.
Good. I'll go in and see him. Donjek, perhaps you have another story to tell Larry while you wait for me. I'll not be long.
Sergeant Preston was admitted by a servant, and a few moments later was talking to Martin Jeffers.
I sent that telegram, Sergeant, because I think there's something wrong at the mine.
Tell me about it, Mr. Jeffers.
A rich vein of gold was struck in the main tunnel. It took a sharp downward course, so a shaft was sunk to follow it.
I see.
For the past few weeks, the ore has been poor. Inspection at the bottom of the shaft shows that the vein is still there. The miners are searched whenever they leave the mine, yet I feel that somehow gold is being stolen.
I see. Has it occurred to you that the men might be hiding some of this gold in a secret cache at the bottom of the shaft?
Yeah, you may be right, but when I inspected the shaft, there was no indication of a hiding place.
Clever man might find a way to do it so it wouldn't be seen.
That may be so.
I'd like to investigate that shaft, Mr. Jeffers. When would it be convenient?
Well, how about tomorrow when the men are outside the mine eating their noonday dinner?
All right, I'll be at the mine at noon tomorrow.
Right. I hope your investigation brings something to light. I'll go to the door with you.
Thank you.
I'll be at the mine waiting for you tomorrow.
All right.
Hey, who's that out there with my son?
Oh, that's Donjek. He's employed by your company.
Donjek the Eskimo? I distinctly told Larry to stay away from that fella. Larry, come here this minute.
All right, Dad. Goodbye, Donjek.
Goodbye, Larry.
Larry, get inside and go straight to bed. I told you to stay away from that Eskimo.
But, Dad, Donjek's my best friend, and he's awful nice.
How many times must I tell you you're not to hobnob with an Eskimo? I'll not tolerate such a thing, you understand?
Yes, Dad, but...
We in the house at once.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to know what that fellow is doing out in front of my house.
Donjek walked over with me, Mr. Jeffers.
With you? Well, tarnation take it, Sergeant. We all respect you around here, but... What will people think if they see you taking up with an Eskimo?
What people think doesn't concern me, Mr. Jeffers. As long as I'm doing what I consider to be right. I judge my friends by what they are, not by their race or creed.
Well, then you have poor judgment, R.J.
Possibly, but I feel that a man isn't great because of his birth, but because of what he makes of himself. Donjek has much to offer as a man and a friend.
Think as you like, Sergeant. But tell that Eskimo to stay away from my boy, or I'll have him run out of town.
Good night. I hear what Mr. Jeffers says, Sergeant. I'm very sorry to cause trouble. Maybe he right. Maybe it better you not be with Donjek.
No, Donjek. He's wrong. Intolerance has no place in this big new country of ours if we hope to grow strong and great. Let's go back to your cabin now. I need a good night's rest. Come on, King.
That night at the cafe, two of the miners sat at one of the tables, talking in low voices.
Joe, we got to do something and do it quick.
What's the matter, Gil?
I stopped at the mining office a while ago. I heard the super talking to the bookkeeper.
Yeah, go on.
Jeffers sent him word that the Mountie, Preston, is going to go down into that shaft tomorrow at noon to investigate. He suspects gold has been held back and hidden down there, from what I heard.
But look, Gil, I finally got the super to transfer me to be a night guard at the mine like we planned. They start tomorrow night, then we could bring the gold out.
Get this through your thick head, Joe. It's too late to think of getting that gold out now. We'll have to leave the gold.
What? Leave it? You mean leave it there just when we
get
it?
Listen, you dope. If Sergeant Preston goes there and gets wise to what we were doing, we'll go to prison.
Well, what can we do?
You get this. I'll put a can of blasting powder in my lunch pail and carry it down with us tomorrow morning. Just before the noon whistle blows... We'll plant it down there with a slow-burning fuse.
If they found out we did that, it'd be worse.
The men have complained of gas seepage down in that shaft. They'll blame the explosion on that. And the Snoop and Monty will be dead and buried.
Oh, That'll be murder.
Sure, it's either that or the possibility of spending a long time behind bars.
Well, if you think we'll get away with it...
Why shouldn't we? How about it?
All right.
Good. Since I am foreman on that level, I always wait till the men are all out before I come up out of that shaft, so nobody will see what we do. We'll work fast. Then, while we're all out safe and sound eating our dinner, the Molly will go into the mine and down that shaft, and he'll not come up alive.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, tomorrow morning you'll go for this family breakfast treat. Crisp, nourishing, swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. The ready-to-serve cereal shot from guns.
Hoop, man, in the name of the Queen, what's going on here?
A Mountie.
You've seen a Mountie before, haven't you?
Oh, sure. Fact is, I'm pretty well acquainted with the Mounties in the Yukon.
I'm new in this territory, but wherever there's shooting going on...
Yes, sir. But that shooting you heard now was just me explaining about the keenest tasting breakfast ever.
Oh?
I mean rice or wheat shot from guns.
Well, it's a new kind of shooting to me.
You see, we load huge guns with choice sun-ripened premium grains of rice or wheat. Then these grains are exploded. Out come big, giant grains up to 8 times normal size. They're magnified, crispified, shot through and through with bang-up nut-like flavor, too. That's why Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat are so good to eat.
Ooh, man, sound mighty tasty.
And for breakfast, lunch, or supper, all you do is pour out a bowlful right from the package. No cooking. Just add milk or cream and top with your favorite fruit.
Aye, that's for me.
And what's more, Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat are nourishing. They furnish added healthful values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
Those extras appeal to me, too.
And fellas and girls, here's a tip for you. To get the original, crisp, fresh rice or wheat shot from guns, always buy the big red and blue packages with the smiling Quaker man on the front. At your store tomorrow, ask for both delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. Now to continue. The following morning, early, the boy Larry Jeffers went to the mining office in town with a message from his father to the mining superintendent.
Well, morning, son.
Good morning, Mr. Lewis.
What brings you here so early?
Well, Dad said to tell you he might be late getting to the mine this noon, and for you and Sergeant Preston to go ahead with investigating.
Well, thanks for telling me, Larry. It's lucky you got here when you did. I was just about to leave for the mine.
Mr. Lewis, Dad said if you didn't care, I could ride in the buckboard with you to the mine and come back with him. Is it all right?
Well, sure, sure, son. You ready to go now?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm ready.
Well, let's get out the buckboard then. Come on.
During the morning, Larry whiled away his time drawing with pencil and paper in the mine headquarters shack. Then, tiring of that, he went outside and watched as the mule car brought ore from the mine tunnel. Once, he went to the entrance and peered inside.
Hold on there, youngster. You can't go in there. Nobody can go in while the men are working.
Oh, I wasn't going in. I'm just looking. But I'd like to go in sometime.
Aren't you Martin Jeffers' boy?
Yes, sir.
Well, son, you'll probably see a lot of this mine when you get older. Your dad will most likely make you learn the mining business from the ground up.
Is it dark back in there, mister?
It just looks that way from out here in the sunlight. They have plenty of lanterns inside.
Oh. What's that whistle mean?
Means it's time to knock off for the noon meal, son. Men will be piling out of there in just a minute, so stand back out of the way.
All right.
The boy stood back and watched as the men left the mine. No one paid any attention to the boy. When they had seemingly all gone past, Larry looked into the main tunnel.
The man said nobody could go in while the men were working, but they're not working now. Maybe it'd be all right if I go just part way.
Just then, hearing two more men coming from the tunnel, Larry stepped back behind a boulder and waited for them to pass.
Yeah, I think it's a blow in 10 minutes. Yeah, and we'll be with the others eating rye.
Nothing to worry about,
right, Mom? Now I'll go inside a short way.
The boy moved slowly and wonderingly through the main tunnel. In a few minutes, he came to a shaft and looked down at the lower level.
Golly, must be another tunnel down there. I could go down that ladder and just take one look. I think that's what I'll do.
Meanwhile, outside, Mr. Lewis, the superintendent, approached the main tunnel. He spoke to one of the men as he passed.
Hey, Mike, see anything of Jeffers boy out here?
Yes, sir. He was at the mine entrance a couple of minutes ago.
Well, I'll go in the tunnel and see if he's there. You go to the shack, and if a Mountie arrives, tell him to come here.
All right, boss.
Lewis hurried into the main tunnel, calling out.
Larry! Larry Jeffers! Are you in here?
I'm down here!
Larry! You had no business going down that shaft. Better come right up.
I can't climb up. I fell from the ladder and threw my ankle.
All right. I'll come down and help you get up. By Jiminy, your father'd have a fit if he knew you came down here, son. As it is, I've got a lot of explaining to do.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lewis. I'll tell Dad it was my fault.
Well, come on. I'll help you up the ladder. Easy now. Now, Booster, go on.
We're almost there now. I just wanted to see what the mine looked like inside.
Well, you saw. So let's get it out of here. Sergeant Preston will be waiting for us.
What was that explosion?
Came from inside the mine.
Sergeant! Mr. Lewis went into the mine.
What?
He went in to find the Jeffers boy.
Bring lanterns, picks, and shovels, all of you. We'll try to get to them. Hurriedly, the men brought lanterns, picks, and shovels. Then they all moved cautiously into the main tunnel of the mine.
Going in here is all right.
Hey, that explosion came from the lower level, I'd say.
Look, dust and smoke coming up the shaft. It was down there.
Lewis and the boy wouldn't be down there. Reckon they went out.
Help! Listen! Help!
It's Lewis, down the shaft. But there's no way to get through that rubble.
We must get to them. We'll go down there and start digging. Come on, let's get busy. The horizontal tunnel at the bottom of the shaft was cut off by rubble piled high. Digging furiously and steadily, the men managed to clear a small opening. Preston stopped the digging and called out. Lewis, you hear me?
Yeah. I'm caught by a beam. Why, Larry, unconscious.
Lewis! Lewis! He must have lost consciousness.
The boy is in there with him.
We can't widen that hole. They won't last long.
What happened?
An explosion, Mr. Jeffers. Lewis and your son are both in there. We can't widen that opening.
My son, no, it can't be. How did he...
No time to explain now. We must get them out before there's another cave in. I'm going to crawl in. Two of your men, go to the top of the shaft and have ropes ready to pull them up. Hurry!
Sergeant, come on.
Sergeant Preston eased his way through the small opening as the men stood around breathlessly. A moment later, a chill ran through each of them
as
a rumble came from within.
It's caving in. Sergeant! Sergeant!
We're all right so far. Well, I can't lift a beam that has them pinned down. Someone must come in to help. Hurry!
None of them will get out alive.
I'm not risking my neck.
Men, listen to me. My boy is in there. I'm too stout and heavy to get through to him. I'll give $10,000 in cash to the one who goes in to help Sergeant Preston move that beam. Isn't there any of you with courage? For heaven's sake, do something. That boy and those two men need help.
The sergeant better come out while he can. I go help Sergeant.
You. Hey, good. I'll give you plenty of cash.
I not go for money. You get out of way, quick.
Why, he must be crazy.
You'll die with him, Mr.
You get out of way. Sergeant Preston and boy, my friends. Don Jack rather die with friends than live with those who hate him. I go help.
A moment later, the despised Eskimo reached Preston's side.
I hear, Sergeant. I come to help.
Good for you, Don Jack. This beam's holding them down. They're both unconscious. I will have to lift the beam, but we have to be very careful we don't start another cave-in. Ready?
I'm ready. I'm not afraid when I'm with friends.
Quick, push it back off. There. Now we'll get Lewis and Larry out through the hole. Hurry, Don Jack, hurry. Larry and Lewis, both unconscious, were carefully taken through the small opening by Preston and Don Jack. At the sound of the last rumble, the others had retreated up the ladder and watched from there as the Mountie and the Eskimo brought the two victims through the opening to the foot of the ladder.
There, I got them out. Lower a rope, quick!
Working swiftly, Preston and Don Jack tied the rope first to the boy, Larry, who was drawn to the upper surface. Next, Mr. Lewis was taken up.
Up the ladder quickly, Don Jack.
No, no, I wait. You go. I not go first.
All right, follow me then, but hurry.
Here's the sergeant. Give him a hand.
Thanks. Don Jack, hurry.
I hurry.
Give me your hand, quick. Come on.
Let me help. We have him.
Just in time. Get back, all of you. Glad you're safe, Don Jack.
I'm more glad you're safe, Sergeant. And boy,
they took Lewis and the boy outside. Come on.
The superintendent and the boy, Larry, were taken into the headquarters shack, where there was a room set aside as an infirmary. Sergeant Preston and Don Jack entered together to find Martin Jeffers leaning over his son, Larry. The other men crowded around the doorway.
Larry, my boy.
The boy will be all right, Mr. Jeffers. The beam held him, but it didn't crush him. I'll give first aid to him and Mr. Lewis.
Oh, I help. I learn at missionary school.
Good. Let's get busy, Don Jack. Sergeant Preston and Don Jack worked carefully and expertly over the superintendent and the boy. Within a short time, both of them were conscious and resting easily. How do you feel, Larry?
I feel all right now, Sergeant.
Son, I thought you were done for.
I just wanted to see the mine. Thanks for saving me, Sergeant.
The thanks go to Don Jack, Larry. He saved all of us.
I not let friends die.
I know how you felt, Don Jack.
Don Jack, I owe you my life, you and the sergeant. And I want you to know that I'm your friend, too.
Oh, that's plenty good.
As the others talked, Martin Jeffers stood looking first at his son, then at the Eskimo lad who had so courageously gone into the face of death to help his friends. A strange new feeling stirred within Jeffers. And as he looked at the unassuming young Eskimo, he saw not a man of a different race and color, but a kind, brave person who knew only that he must help others, even those surrounded by hate and intolerance. Suddenly, brushing his hand quickly across his eyes, he turned to Don Jack with outstretched hand.
Lad, I don't know the words I really want to say, but if you let me shake the hand of one who acts as the Lord intended man to act, I'll be grateful. May I call you friend?
I'm most glad to be friend, Mr. Jeffers.
Golly, Dad. Now we're both Don Jack's friends.
Of course, son. Don Jack is always welcome at our home. Always.
But that explosion, I can't understand what...
Those two men there in the doorway just got out of the mine in time. They came out after the others did.
What's that, sir?
Come on, Gil.
Hold on, Gil. What's he saying?
Yeah, you and Joe are suddenly anxious to go.
Come here, both of you.
We'll bring them to you, Sergeant.
Larry, you say these two men came out after the others had gone?
Ah, the boy's crazy. How could he see us if we didn't run into him?
That's right.
Well, I hid, but I heard what you said. One of you, that one,
what?
Said he fixed it to blow in 10 minutes. The other one said they'd be with the others eating.
Well, Senator, they must have set that explosion. Yeah.
Well, did you?
You have nothing on us.
Yes, sir. Let us have them, Sergeant.
Yeah, we'll make them tell the truth.
No. Don't let them take us out of here. Gil, he planned it. The gold we
hid. This gun will shut you up.
Hold it.
Oh!
I'll take these two back with me, Mr. Jeffers. Oh, I arrest both of you in the name of the Crown for attempted murder.
Well, that's right. Mr. Jeffers, we men talked it over. We'd like to give a party for... Well, for Don Jack at the cafe, if he's willing.
For me? That make me most happy.
A party for Don Jack is just a thing. We'll all be there to honor one we're proud to call a friend.
Yes, sir.
Now look, Don Jack, even if you are an Eskimo, hang it all. Well, what I'm trying to say is, we don't care what you are. You're a real man and a hero as far as we're concerned. And we're darn lucky to have you for a friend.
I'm very glad for all this, in spite of what we've gone through, Sergeant Preston. This has taught us a lesson.
Mr. Jeffers, it's been said that if we accept the fatherhood of God, we must accept the brotherhood of man. This great province of ours, along with the great United States to the south of us, will become far greater when tolerance and understanding of our fellow men are more fully practiced.
Sergeant, someday I hope to have your courage and understanding.
Does that mean Don Jack is as good as any of us now, Dad?
It means that Don Jack is one of us, but far better than most of us, son.
I agree, Mr. Jeffers. It's a happy moment for Don Jack, and I'm happy to say this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. If there are any fussy breakfast eaters in your family, listen. There's one breakfast cereal the whole family likes to eat. And that's Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
You fellas and girls go for them because they're the ones shot from guns.
And Dad reaches for them every time because he likes the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good natural grain.
The sun-ripened natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it.
In every family, some like their cereal not so sweet, some like it real sweet.
And that's the beauty of delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
They are never coated with factory sweetening.
The whole family can sweeten them with sugar to suit their own special taste.
So to please everybody in the family at breakfast, fussy eaters and all, get delicious, nourishing Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
At your store tomorrow, look for the big red and blue packages with the sealed inner lining that keeps them fresh as can be.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting, sir.
Sergeant, last week, Constable Palmer went north to arrest the traitor who killed two Eskimos.
I know, sir. Did he find him?
I've no idea. We've had no word from Palmer since he left here.
Inspector! Inspector!
Arkable, what brings you here so far from your village?
His murder, Inspector. Constable Palmer been murdered by a traitor he wants to arrest.
You hear that, Sergeant? Get the murderer. Bring him back alive.
Yes, sir. If it's the last thing I do, I'll bring him back alive to hang.
Sergeant Preston goes to the Arctic Circle after a ruthless murderer. But in attempting to carry out orders, he faces death. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns.
Hello, folks. This is your friend Aunt Jemima. Do you love pancakes? Golden, tender, light pancakes? Then try Aunt Jemima pancakes. You see, my Aunt Jemima pancake mix is now fluff whipped to give you the lightest pancakes ever, lighter even than homemade. Yes, Aunt Jemima pancakes are so light, they are digestible as toast. Try these extra light Aunt Jemima pancakes. Piping hot and running with good butter and syrup. As the old song goes, what do most folks love to eat? Pancakes, pancakes. What kind are the biggest treat? Aunt Jemima's are. Aunt Jemima pancakes, extra, extra light. Easy to fix with my pancake mix. Have some this very night. Thank you, folks.
This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long.